Let him in. Thank you, Risha. You know, the Bible says he stands at our heart's door knocking. Will we let him in? You know, they didn't let him in at the inn or his parents that first Christmas. You know, I spent a lot of time this Christmas thinking about where Christ was born. It wasn't a palace, was it? It was a stable. There was no room in that inn. And so Mary and Joseph were there in that stable. And by the way, not the stable in our manger scenes either. You know, you look at a lot of the commercialized manger scenes that we have, and you've got the clean golden hay everywhere, and it just looks beautiful there as it's laid. The beautifully crafted woodworking, and I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but there probably was very little wood, actually, in that stable. That stable in Israel probably was a cave. And the manger itself, we think, probably would have been made of stone. And so probably very little woodworking for all those that enjoy doing woodworking, but not a very beautiful picture. Not clean, well-behaved animals, as you might see in that scene. Not a well-dressed Mary and Joseph with a baby Jesus wrapped in cute baby blankets. No, they were poor. In fact, the Bible says that they had an option. If you couldn't give the normal sacrifice that was asked, that you could give two turtle doves. And that's exactly what they gave, showing us that they were a very poor family. Not exactly the scene that we have maybe in our manger scene. And I would dare say that those commercially crafted scenes bear little to no resemblance to the reality of what the stable in Bethlehem was like. Now, in comparison to our Christmas experience that we all had yesterday, I'm sure most of us were enjoying the comforts of our northern Virginian homes as we sat around the tree and we opened our gifts. I question how comfortable the inn would have been had they been able to stay there compared to what comforts we enjoy these days. You know, we had our fireplace going and we got so warm we had to turn it off. And so what did I do? I turned the fireplace on the TV on, you know, so you could still have the effect but not have all the heat blowing on you. But then I thought about that cold cave of a stable. Probably wet, cold. You know, the only mess surrounding us was the mound of wrapping paper from the presents that we had opened. But I can only imagine Joseph doing his best to make a clean place for Mary to deliver her firstborn. Our family room was lit up with Christmas lights everywhere. If anybody knows me, you know I love lights. And my family knows that. And around Christmas time, I just go putting lights just all over the house. Some places don't even make sense. You know, sometimes my wife is, honey, I don't know that really makes sense having lights there. I know, hon, but I love lights. I really do. I love Christmas lights. I love going out, seeing Christmas lights. But, you know, I thought about that stable. It wasn't probably just damp and dingy, but it was probably dark as well. I sat in my chair enjoying smells of a wonderful meal that we were going to eat. But then I thought about baby Jesus and how the first smells that he had as he breathed his first breaths in this life, on this earth, was not a pleasant aroma. And I thought, Lord, you deserve so much more than a poor, dirty stable. Lord, you deserve a palace. But then it hit me, this thought. The stable actually was perfectly appropriate. In fact, it was exactly what God wanted. Why? Because where else would a lamb be born? Where else would a lamb be born? And that's the title of my message this morning. The truth is, the stable was the appropriate location for a lamb to be born. The shepherds were the appropriate visitors to come see a lamb. And the manger actually was the appropriate place for a lamb to be laid. I'm going to talk about that later in our message. Something very interesting that I read about and studied. The fact is, Jesus didn't come the first time as a king to rule. The disciples thought that was the case, but they were sadly mistaken. Jesus, no, he didn't come as a king to rule. Rather, he came as a lamb to die. And thank God that he did. Because the fact that he came as a lamb to die provides the opportunity for us all to have salvation. And today, when you recognize the importance of Jesus being our Lamb, you must receive His sacrifice to have His blood wash your sins away. I want you to notice quickly this morning three reasons why we needed a Lamb. Three reasons why we needed a Lamb. Notice number one. We needed a Lamb because we needed a simple sacrifice. Notice our text again, if you would, 1 Peter 1:18-20. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed." By the way, the word redeemed means freed from bondage. That's a great word, great biblical word. Freed from bondage, but not just freed from bondage, but freed from bondage by way of a payment. Now, not just any payment would do. The Bible makes it clear here. It wasn't with corruptible things. Now, the things that it gets ready to mention in our mind aren't, you know, corruptible or bad things. It mentions silver and gold. That's great things, right? But in the end, that's not the currency of heaven. It goes on to say, not with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Here it is. As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained. Another good word here. It means known ahead of time. Literally, that's what foreordained means. You see, it was prophesied that a lamb would come. We're going to see that prophecy in Isaiah 53 a little bit later on. It was promised. And we're going to see that promise in Genesis 22 that God made. And it was preached, John 1:29, that says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold," he pointed his finger out, "the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John preached about that Lamb. And so it was foreordained. What does that mean for us? There was a plan that God had. And that plan was prophesied. It was promised. It was preached. And whose plan was that? Well, look at what it says. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Well, that tells us who the plan was by. Because there was only one person who existed before the foundations of the world. And that was God. It was God's plan. And it says, but this plan was manifest. This Lamb was manifest in these last times for you. Now, as we talk about a simple plan, this simple sacrifice for us to be saved, I want you to understand this morning, it centers around a simple Lamb. Notice, first of all, simple wasn't man's plan. When you talk about man's plan of salvation, and by the way, men have come up with all sorts of plans to try to save themselves. None of them work. But men have come up with plans on how to save themselves. Down through the ages, man has always come up with complex plans for how to save himself. I think of one such plan. You have to keep the whole law. We see that in the New Testament with the Judaizers and the legalism that existed there. The thought that they had to keep the law in order to earn their salvation. Romans 3:19-20 tells us something about that and how well that plan works. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." So the law existed not to justify us, but to prove us to be the sinners that we are. Not to show that we're innocent, but to help us understand that we're guilty, because none of us could perfectly keep the law. Romans 3:23 makes it very clear, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And so it goes on in verse 20 of Romans 3 to say, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." That means made righteous in His sight. Whose sight? God's sight. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law didn't exist to save us. It existed to give us the knowledge of the fact that we're sinners and to help us understand we needed a Savior. Now, there was one who kept the law perfectly, the Bible says. And by the way, He's the same one that can save us from our sin. But no, the plan to keep the law, man's plan to do that, was complex and was never God's plan. And it doesn't work according to the Bible. But you know, some had the plan that they could be religious and follow religious ceremony and follow sacraments. You know, the Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness. That's what a sacrament is. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that washing later on, what the blood of the Lamb does. But it wasn't through religious ceremony. It wasn't through religious activity that we'd be saved. And by the way, that would be so complex, wouldn't it? And by the way, you would never really have assurance. Have I done enough? Have I done enough works to get to heaven? Have I kept enough of the law? Do I have enough good works to outweigh my bad works? And all these plans that man makes up are so complicated, and they don't give assurance, and they don't work. We see God's plan versus man's plan illustrated in Cain and Abel's story, don't we? Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's first children, they were told to make a sacrifice, and God had specifically taught them that it needed to be a lamb sacrifice. Of course, we know that Cain worked in the garden. He enjoyed vegetables and fruits and whatnot. I enjoy that, by the way. I this past year, we moved out sort of to the country, and I've done a lot more gardening I've ever done in my life, whether it's outside, and now I've got this hydroponic garden. I don't have time to get into that. You can look at my Facebook page. But anyhow, this hydroponic garden where I grow stuff inside, and you know, it's fun growing things. But it's a lot of work growing things, too, I'll tell you that. And if we're honest, you know, there's a little bit of pride, isn't there? When we've grown something, oh, look what I did. Oh, look at the work I put in. Look what I got because of my work. And so when the time came to offer the sacrifice, Cain, rather than offering up what God had said, what Abel offered up, a lamb, Cain thought, no, I got a better plan than that. I think I'll offer up what I worked hard to do. I'm really proud of these vegetables and these fruits, and I think I'll offer that to God, to please God. We all know the rest of the story. God was not pleased. And God gave Cain a chance. He came to Cain. He said, Cain, listen, I'm not pleased with your sacrifice. And Cain was jealous because Abel did what God wanted, and God was pleased for that sacrifice. And so there was this jealousy and this hatred that built up, this bitterness that built up inside of Cain toward his brother. And God came to Cain and gave him a chance and said, listen, Cain, if you'll just obey, I'll accept your sacrifice. But if you don't, it's an interesting phrase he uses there. He says, sin lieth at the door. God knew what Cain was getting ready to do. So one day, Abel was out working in the field, probably with the sheep. The Bible tells us how the very first murder took place. It was a brother who came up on his brother out of jealousy and hatred and bitterness and took his life because he didn't like the way that he had followed God's plan. He wanted to follow his own plan. You know, there's a lot of murder that's taking place in the name of religion because people don't follow man's way. But there's only one way that we can get to heaven. And folks, this morning, it wasn't through some complex plan that man's come up with. It was through a simple plan that God came up with. Notice God's simple plan. From the moment that man sinned, God enacted this simple plan. Man also had tried his own plan from the moment they sinned. You remember? Adam and Eve, they took leaves and they tried to sew those things. Talk about complex. You ever tried to sew leaves together? That doesn't work out very well. But they tried to sew leaves together to make aprons to cover their nakedness, to cover their sin. So right from the beginning, we see man's attempt, but God's plan was much simpler, wasn't it? God's plan was perfect. And it says he covered Adam and Eve's sin with the skin of a sacrifice. Genesis 3 and verse 21, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them? And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, Adam and Eve up to that point had never seen death. They'd never seen anything die. In the garden, the lion laid down next to the lamb. By the way, it's how it'll be when God comes back on this earth to reign again, the Bible says. But they had never seen death. And so when God slew that animal, they saw that blood. They saw that death. I tell you, it really called attention to what God had done for them. And God clothed them with those animal skins. And that was a picture of the plan that God, from the beginning, had to take care of our sin for us. God's plan wasn't man's works, but rather His gift. And this Christmas time, it was the gift of a lamb. And folks, that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? So we've seen that we needed a lamb because we needed a simple sacrifice. Would you notice, secondly, why we needed a lamb? Number two, we needed a substitute sacrifice. We needed a substitute sacrifice. This sacrifice wasn't just any old sacrifice. It was a substitute. That means it had to take our place. It had to be our substitute. Now, a couple of things as I think about this substitute sacrifice in the scripture. I see, first of all, the prophecy of the substitute sacrifice. I mentioned that God prophesied of a lamb, and He sure did. And here's the prophecy. And turn to Isaiah chapter 53, if you would, this morning. Isaiah 53, written some 600 to 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 prophesied the lamb that God had planned to take our place, to be our substitute. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 tells us what we were. It says, all we like sheep. All we like sheep. What? Had gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. And by the way, there's so many things in these verses that deal with the prophecy of Christ and how many prophecies were fulfilled in what he did. As he stood there before the Pharisees, he didn't respond. He didn't open his mouth, as it says here. He was innocent. And notice what it says. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. What are we? We're lost sheep. And what did we need to be sacrificed on our behalf? A sheep. A lamb. God prophesied that he was going to take our place. I see the promise of the substitute sacrifice. I mentioned that there was a promise of a lamb. And there sure was. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. And we see the story of Abraham and Isaac. God comes to Abraham after years and years of making a promise to Abraham that he would give him a son, and that through that son, he would make of him a great nation. Finally, after years and years of Abraham hearing that promise, finally in their old age, God had given them a son. His name was Isaac. And I'm sure Abraham loved his son, as we all fathers do. But one day God came to Abraham and said something that probably didn't make any sense to Abraham. He said, Abraham, your son. Yes, Lord, my son. Isaac. Yes, Isaac. Thank you, God, for Isaac. He's such a blessing. Yeah, Abraham, your son, your only son. Yes, Lord, I want you to give him and sacrifice him. Sacrifice my son? Lord, the one that you promised me, the one that you said you were going to make a great nation, sacrifice Isaac? Yes, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that maybe we look at and we just don't understand. But can I remind you, God has a plan. God has a reason. And what we need to do is not question God, but put faith in God. And by the way, that's exactly what Abraham did. You see, what Abraham realized through faith was that even if he were to sacrifice his son, that God had the power to raise his son back up from the dead. Of course God could do that. And by the way, what a beautiful picture of what God actually did when he raised his own son from the dead, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Abraham by faith offered his son up to God, knowing that God could raise him from the dead. Well, the day came that they took their journey to go make the sacrifice. And as they traveled with the servants and the different men that were with him, eventually they came to a point where Abraham said, hey guys, I'm just going to go on ahead with my son. Just spend some time alone with my son. And so they left the caravan behind and they took the things that they needed for the sacrifice. And as they were walking there, I imagine they were enjoying some time as a father and son. I love those times with my kids, you know, where you get to spend some personal time with them and talking about different things in life. And maybe Abraham was contemplating what was coming up and just the special time that he had here before that with his son. Well, at some point, Isaac, looking around at what they had, realized something wasn't right. And he looked at his dad. He said, "Dad, we're missing something. Dad, we've got the things to make the altar. We've got, but we're missing the lamb." Look at what the response was in Genesis 22:8, a promise that God made to all of us. Notice what Abraham says. God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And sure enough, as Abraham went on later on to raise the knife to take the life of his son, God called out and an angel stopped him. He said, "Don't do it, Abraham. You've been proven faithful to me. Look over in that thicket. There's a ram there that you can use for a sacrifice." God did provide for them there, and God did provide for us himself a lamb. The promise of a substitute sacrifice. And then I see the purpose of a substitute sacrifice. You see, there was an immediate purpose. Someone had to die in our place. Imagine all the sacrifices that had been made. All the blood that had been shed, all the lambs, all the goats, all the bulls, all the rams. Something had to bring this to an end. We needed a once for all sacrifice. And folks, that's what Jesus was. And he ended all those sacrifices because he was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute. And he took our place. We see the plan mentioned for the first time in Genesis 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And I will put enmity," God talking to the serpent, to the devil, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," and notice, "and her seed." See, right there from the beginning, we get this picture that God was going to send someone to save us. And it would be through the woman. That is to say, this someone was going to be one of us. He was going to be our substitute. And he goes on to say, "It shall bruise thy head." By the way, that's a crushing mortal blow. And that's what God, through Christ, dealt to Satan on the cross. But it goes on to say, "And thou shalt bruise his heel." That's a painful blow, but it was a victorious blow, wasn't it? And that's why Christmas was important. He became one of us, a sheep, a lamb. In Philippians 2:6-8 says, "Who being in the form of God," he was God, he was 100% God. Says, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Think about this. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross." He became us so he could take our place, what we deserved, that death on that cross. There was an immediate purpose, an immediate need that we had. But I want you to see something else, Christian. There was a future purpose in it being a lamb. Because the lamb would become our shepherd. I love this thought. Now, he's our shepherd. And what better shepherd is there than someone who has been a lamb? You ever thought about that? Who would make a better shepherd than someone who's been a lamb? Now, I don't claim to understand all of that. But I know this. He understands me 100%. Because he's been where I've been. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now, why is this important? Because having been a lamb, he can empathize with us. He knows the pains that we go through. He knows the struggles that we go through. He understands the temptations that we experience. The Bible talks about how he was tempted, yet he never sinned. But he understands everything that we go through because he was a lamb. But now he's our shepherd. And he takes care of us perfectly, understanding all of our needs. Christian, I don't know where you are today, what needs you have, what problems we might be going through. But let me tell you this, the shepherd understands you perfectly. because he was a lamb. So we've seen that we needed a lamb because we needed a simple sacrifice and we needed a substitute sacrifice. Would you notice the last important point? And that is, we needed a spotless sacrifice. 1 Peter 1:19 says this, back to our text. But with the precious blood of Christ, not just any blood, but notice, and not just any lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, as we close, let me tell you about some sacrifices that couldn't work. You know, an animal sacrifice wasn't the final answer because it was temporary. And that's what it was. It was a temporary sacrifice. It pointed toward what Christ would do. But it never was perfectly the sacrifice that we needed. I mentioned in my introduction that a manger was the perfect place for a lamb to be laid. Let me explain why. I read this. This is really interesting. Think about this. Every firstborn male lamb was considered holy and was set aside for sacrifice in Jerusalem. The newborn lambs would be wrapped tightly, swaddled in specially designated temple cloths, and they would be laid in a manger to keep them contained while they were being examined for blemishes. Isn't that interesting? So being laid in a manger did make sense, because that's what they did with the lambs, so they could examine those firstborn lambs to see whether they were without blemish, whether they would be the sacrifice, be able to be the sacrifice for that year. And for thousands of years, the blood of spotless lambs covered man's sin. But that's all it could do. All it could do was cover it for another year. It never was able to wash the sins away. It was temporary. But they represented what the perfect lamb would do one day. And when Jesus came, because he was us, 100% man, and because he was spotless, he was sinless, he perfectly was able to take our place. And his blood, folks, doesn't just cover our sins. The Bible says it washes our sins away. The Bible says our sins have been placed in the depths of the sea. God's never going to look there again. Thrown behind his back. As far as the east is from the west, all of these things are said in Scripture to remind us of the fact that God has washed our sins away. You don't have to go to bed tonight again guilty over your sin, worried about your eternity. God's made a way to wash those sins away, to take that guilt away and give you a new life in Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain for us. You know, an animal sacrifice wasn't the final answer because it was temporary, but another human sacrifice wasn't the answer because it was sinful. You know, as much as I love Brother James back here, and he's a good friend, and he's a good guy. If you know Brother James, he's a great guy, one of our deacons. But you know, as much as I love Brother James, the fact of the matter is, Brother James couldn't die for my sins. It wouldn't work. And by the way, I couldn't die for his sins. For this one simple reason. Both of us are sinners. You see, it wouldn't work for us to make a sacrifice for somebody else. Many sacrifices have been made by men. And the Bible says no greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, as we think about veterans and those that have died for our freedoms and for us, those are great sacrifices. And I'm not putting those sacrifices down. But listen, those were not sacrifices that were capable of saving somebody's soul. Maybe their life, but not their soul. Only Jesus Christ, being the spotless lamb, without blemish, was able to be our perfect sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus Christ never sinned. He did fulfill the law perfectly. He was the perfect lamb. And all that was so that a trade could take place. He would take our sinfulness and we could have his righteousness. And by the way, it's the only way you can get to heaven. You have to be 100% righteous. And that happens according to 2 Corinthians 5:21 there. It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that today, Brandon Lawrence, because on April 23rd, 1983, I accepted the sacrifice, the payment that was made for me on the cross by that lamb. I got saved. And I received in my heart by faith. So that when God looks at me, he no longer looks at Brandon Lawrence and all of his sin. And all of his mess ups and all of his problems. He no longer looks at me that way. You know how he looks at me? He looks at me in the righteousness of his perfect son, Jesus Christ. Wow. That is amazing. Now today, that can only happen if you receive his son like a gift. Hey, it's Christmas time. We all understand gifts. And you understand that you can accept the gift or you can reject the gift. This morning, God offers the gift of a lamb. It was a simple sacrifice. Not all the complex failed plans that man has come up with, but rather the simple gift of a lamb. We needed a substitute sacrifice. Jesus volunteered to humble himself and become one of us and live on this sin-cursed earth and die on a sin-cursed cross. And we needed a spotless sacrifice. Not just any sacrifice would do. Not an animal sacrifice because they were temporary. Not just another human sacrifice because we're all sinful. But the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ. Today, aren't you thankful that Mary had a little lamb? Because it's his blood that makes us white as snow. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing Just As I Am, number 319. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the payment of the blood of the Lamb. It's the only way to heaven. None of the other complex plans work, but it's the simple plan that God offers to you and me today. And maybe you're here today and you've never accepted that. Listen, if you'll come here during this invitation, someone will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, how you can have that payment applied to your heart and to your sins so that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Christian, if you're here today, I want to encourage you. Jesus Christ was a lamb, and so he makes a perfect shepherd. And whatever you might be going through, whatever difficulty you might be experiencing this Christmas season, because he was a lamb, he makes the perfect shepherd. Why don't you come to him and share with him the problems that are going on in your life and ask for his help. Father, we thank you for the Lamb. Lord, it didn't make sense as I thought about it, but when we look at the Scripture, it makes complete sense. Lord, it wasn't our plan and our wisdom, but it was your perfect plan and your perfect wisdom. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, that today would be the day they would get that settled so they could lay their head on their pillow tonight with not with guilt in their heart, but with a clean heart that's been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Would you encourage Christians today that you are a great shepherd and you understand what we're going through because you were a lamb? In Jesus' name, amen.